that your love cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong that your love cannot tear it down. There is a hope that's alive. I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that's over cold. Oh, King of Kings, let your kingdom come. You are the God who restores. With just one word, the world was full. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys. In every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that's overcome. King of Kings, let your kingdom come. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. And all of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. Let every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. Let all of the earth, all of creation, praise your name. Darkest day. Your light is brighter than the sun, stronger than the grave. Your love has overcome darkest day.
All of the earth, all of creation. Every war he wages, he will.
everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship. And every hopeless situation ceases to exist. When you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise. There is resurrection life in all you do. It's all for you, G. It's all for you, G. We're here tonight for you, G. We've gathered in this place for you, G. All for you, G. Yeah. every breath I take, let every word I say be all for you. This is all for you.
moments like this is when the Word of God is washed over your spirit. You know what today is? Today's Sunday. Today's the first day of the week. So we have a tendency in our mind, we just default to, well, it's the weekend, and that starts on Friday, and then it goes Saturday, and by Sunday, oh my God, it's the end of the week. I got to go back to work, and Monday starts a new week. Now, today you started a new week. Today you started to wash over yourself. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs that we pour out our praise. I was reading just a moment ago during the worship. I just turned to Genesis 1 and said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. I pray that we would get a holy tenacity to say, let this week be a great week. Let this week, let my hands be productive at the things that I do. Let my mind be focused on the decisions that I have to make. Let my finances come in line with the provision, God, that you have for me. Let everything that my hands touch prosper this week. Why? Because I'm beginning my week knowing, God, you are great. You are great. And I've just washed over my spirit, man. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs that causes us to triumph. It's your breath in our lungs that causes the words, may the words of my mouth and the meditations in my heart be found acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. I pray for the people of God tonight, Lord, that are in this room and those that are in virtually, God, watching us online tonight, participating in worship. I pray that as we begin this brand new week, God, in the middle of November, that you would cause us to triumph as we go back to the workplace tomorrow. That, God, you would bless the work of our hands. That you would cause things to come into line with decisions that we have to make that are bigger than us. They're bigger than us. We need your wisdom. We need your discernment. We need your knowledge. We need your peace. We need your provision, God, for the things that you place deep within us. And, God, I just thank you for it. I thank you for it in advance, Lord. I feel like, God, you've given us a spirit of creation just to speak life. Proverbs says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we receive a fresh awareness tonight that Proverbs 18:21 is so true for us. We can speak life over our week ahead of us. We can speak peace and blessing and abundance and provision and happiness and all those other things, God, that you so desire for your children. Speak that in Jesus' name, mighty and strong. And all of God's people just simply said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated in his presence tonight. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God tonight. It's your breath in our lungs. And for that reason, we pour out our praise to you only. To you only, God. Hallelujah. It's just been a blessing today to to sit under a message of faith. It takes a lot of preaching for me. I have a real high standard of preaching, so for somebody to hit that mark, it's a good thing. Amen? So, I mean, amen? I like good preaching. Amen? And so, Adonis, you ministered to me when you started counting this morning. I'm going to count to three, and you said one, and in a moment, I'm just going to, come on, guys, I'll get ready, because you need to get ready. I'm going to count to three, two, and I thought, say three, because I want to get up there, amen? I want to get up there, because you know what? I'm almost 60 years old. My next birthday, I'll be 60. I've already been getting senior discounts at McDonald's for 5 years, so I just thank God for 60, amen? And I'm excited about what God's doing in my life. I'm not, well, you know, I'm getting close to retirement. What is retirement? I'm not going to retire. I'm not going to retire. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And so I was so blessed this morning to just be challenged in my faith and for the Spirit of God to speak to me next. Come on, say something. Say out loud, next, next. And so I hope you picked up a copy of the book. Amen. I hope you picked up a copy of the book. If you didn't, get one at the end of the service as you visit the table. And join me in just a warm, warm Ahoskie welcome to Adonis Lindsay. Would you do that? Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, man. All righty. How's everybody doing tonight? Sunday night. You guys are the real deal. Amen. So we're at home and we're amongst friends. Amen. And I'm just going to take it from there. Like, I've been here with y'all for years because I feel like I'm at home tonight. So before we start, can everybody just stand? Just stand to your feet. We're just going to bless the Lord right now. And just go with me here. Just lift your hands up high towards heaven. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're about to do in us and through us, that you've positioned us for such a time as this, Lord God. You've ordered our steps. You've ordained us to be here in this moment, Lord God. It's not by happenstance. It's not out of being forced, but it's because you led us here tonight. And we thank you that our hearts are open wide to receive your instruction, to receive your impartation, to receive the words that will empower us beyond this night, to walk into our future, to seize our destiny, to grab hold of the promise that you have in store for us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, if you believe the Lord is here, give him a shout of praise. Come on, somebody. I am excited to be back here on this Sunday night, and I feel like God's placed a word in my spirit, so you guys just go with me, and you're not going to have any scriptures on the big screen. I just want you to listen tonight. Is that okay? You can listen. You can take notes and open up your spirits to hear what the Spirit is speaking. Amen? To hear what the Spirit is speaking. You know, it's obviously that we're in a season where I believe fear has gripped a lot of people. Okay? We're in a season to where you turn on your TV, and if you're not careful, fear is coming out of the big screen. And we've got to make sure that we understand that God did not give us a spirit of fear. And we got to be practical about it, because so many times I think we accept something that's not from God and we seize it as our own. And we walk in this fear. But the moment you begin to understand, wait a minute, I don't have to receive this gift because God did not give it to me, is the moment we can begin to take authority over that. The moment we can be free of a fear and walk happily into our destiny. You know, I remember years ago, I said me and my wife, we will be celebrating 13 years this coming February. But I almost lost my wife on our honeymoon. Y'all stay with me. On our honeymoon, supposed to be a joyous occasion, amen? So on our honeymoon, we went to St. Lucia. Got to the island. I'm excited, kicking back. It's a real laid-back island there. There's no schedule, so we're just having a good old time. We're playing a little golf. We're walking around as honeymooners and holding hands and having a good time. And one day my wife decided, talking about how fear can destroy something. So one day my wife decided that she wanted to go kayaking in the ocean. So I'm like, okay, you know, baby, you know, maybe it's not a good idea. I don't, come on, let's just enjoy walking around. And you know, I'm like, you know what? And I think the wind was high. And about 3 days that we were there, they were putting up different flags that say, okay, if the red flag means you can't go out. And we were on the yellow flag. And I said, we probably can't even go out anyway because the weather's going to change. So I'm really trying to talk her out of kayaking. Okay, and my wife is real persistent. That's where my daughter gets it from. She's like, no, I want to go kayaking. And about 5 minutes into the conversation, she noticed an attitude from me. And I'm like, well, I don't want to go kayaking. And she said, no, we're going kayaking. So what the problem was, there was a fear that had grabbed a hold of me. And so I looked my wife in the eye and I said, now, I guess we missed this part in premarital counseling. I said, I wish we would have talked about this, but it never came up. And if you were not here this morning, you saw on the, there she is right there. I'm black, my wife is white. And I, you know, finally I had to look her in the eye and say, now, I know you want to go kayaking, but I said, babe, I forgot to tell you, my people, we don't go in the ocean. I said, we don't. We do not go in the ocean. Not because I'm afraid of the ocean. I'm afraid of what's in the ocean. And she looked me back in the eye and said, well, you're going to have to get over that fear. I said, okay, come on, let's go. We're going kayaking. We get down there. We go to the kayak shop. The guy is like, have you ever been kayaking before? I said, do I look like I've ever been kayaking before? So I really got this attitude, all because fear has gripped a hold of me. I reluctantly put on the life vest, and I told my wife, you got to get in the front. I'm going to sit in the back. And we're kayaking. She's enjoying all the beauty. My heart is racing. And I'm looking for what? Sharks. And she's like, let's go further out. I'm like, no, no. And she's continuing to paddle. And all of a sudden, my fear grabbed a hold of me so strong, I fast-forwarded into the future. And I said, I know what's going to happen, Pastor. I said, a shark is going to come hit this kayak. We're going to flip out. I'm going to jump back on. The shark's going to eat her. And I'm going to get framed for murder. I'm going to be all on the news, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison. All because of a fear had grabbed a hold of me. The woman I was supposed to be in love with, I was mad at. And I didn't get mad thinking in my mind that the shark was going to eat my wife. I was mad because I was going to be in prison for the rest of my life. That's how much fear had jacked me up. That caused me to do some crazy things and think some crazy thoughts and caused me to think my life was about to be taken away from me, caused me to think my wife was about to be eaten by a shark, caused me to think that I was going to spend the rest of my life in prison. All because I sat there and entertained something that was not a gift from God. And if we're going to reach our destiny, we must look fear in the face and say, you don't belong to me. Come on, we must look fear in the face and say, you're not a gift from God. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, a sound mind. And the moment I had to get my mind back on track, and as I'm paddling there, and I had to quit thinking about a shark, and I had to start thinking about how blessed I was to find this woman, and how blessed I was for God to cause our paths to cross. And I had to see that my life was not about to be taken out. But isn't it funny when we give in to fear and fear makes a mountain from a molehill? And I came here to tell you tonight, listen, there's going to be some times in your life where you are afraid. It doesn't mean to stop. It means to keep pressing through anyway. Everything you want is on the other side of fear. And sometimes we just got to get our stuff together. Amen? We got to get it together in our mind so that we can move forward. My little girl, when she was about 6, and I think my son was 8, my little girl, she's a storyteller. She loves to tell stories. I wonder where she gets that from. And she loves to communicate. And she can tell a story so strong and so believable that teachers will call us. The other day, one of our friends who's a teacher called my wife and said, hey, I'm just, is Adonis okay? My wife was like, yeah, what's wrong? Well, Carrington was telling me a story that y'all went to the beach and Adonis got bit by a shark and he had to go to the hospital. She just loves to tell stories. And so one day I caught her and her brother, they were in the room and they were talking about their dreams at night. And my son said, you know, Carrington, sometimes at night when I dream, it seems so real to me. And I never will forget what my daughter said. She goes, sometimes I dream at night, and if it's a scary dream, it seems real to me. And sometimes I wake up crying, but then I tell myself, get it together, Carrington, get it together. And I'm here to tell us tonight, come on, let's get it together. Come on, let's get in the Word of God. Come on, let's get it together. Let's get our mind right. Let's get our confession right. Let's get our thought process right if we stay hooked to the Word of God. Amen. Y'all still with me? Now, I'm going to jump around the Word of God tonight, but I want to talk about the fight of our life. How many believe that it's evident that there's a spiritual battle going on? Okay? And I believe God needs His people to stand up and be ready for the fight. Even as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, listen to me. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down and not destroyed. Listen, that sounds like a fight right there. And we got to understand that once we begin to take that next step and we go out and we begin to do what God has called us to do, we got to understand that the moment you say yes to Jesus and yes to the plan of God, I believe with all my heart, you get the attention from the enemy. Be ready for it. Only people that get sucker punched are not looking for the fight. You got to be on guard at all times and understand that we are in a fight. And Paul said, we're going to get knocked down, but we don't stay down. We get back up. We keep moving forward. Throughout his entire life, it was ups and downs. Throughout his entire life. Isn't it funny how so many times, you know, when you used to be, it's like you come to Jesus and you think the moment you say yes, your life is going to be perfect. How many of you found that not to be true? Amen? It'll make you think, maybe I never should have said yes to the Lord. Amen? The moment you say yes to Jesus, it's like your car breaks down. Come on. The moment you say yes to a prodding from the Holy Spirit, something happens. And all of that is just a distraction that sucker punches you to get you to stay down on the mat. But I believe when we understand that God's not called us to be perfect, He's called us to be persistent and to follow through with the plan that He has for our very lives. Apostle Paul also said this, and I'm going to get in this message, guys, right here. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. He comes to Timothy towards the end of his life. And if you've ever studied the life of Paul, he went through some stuff. He went through some battles and some hardships, all for the cause of Christ. And I believe God is looking for some Pauls and some Timothys and some Esthers today in the land that we are living. I believe God's looking for some Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegoes that will stand up and be willing to put it all on the line for the cause of Christ. And Paul is coming to his young protege, Timothy. And he says this in 2 Timothy 4, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Everybody say, good fight. He says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I want to leave you with three thoughts tonight. The Apostle Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I kept my faith. I fought, I finished, and I kept. If you're taking notes, write that down. I fought, I finished, and I kept. I fought, I finished, and I kept. So much power in those three statements, because I believe that expresses the life that we live for Christ. The moment you said yes to God, you got to commit to the fight. You got to commit to completing what you started. You got to commit to staying true to your faith. He said, I fought, I finished, and I kept. And the first thing he brings up is, I fought the good fight of faith. Now, I don't know if we have anybody that watches boxing. Anybody watches boxing? I know sometimes in church, okay, man, got a woman, shot her hand up. Yes! Sometimes in church, we don't want to be judged if we're watching boxing. Or anybody watch MMA? All right, there you go. All right, okay. So now, when the Apostle Paul says, I fought the good fight of faith, Now, if you were to pay, let's say you paid $200 for a ticket to go see one of your favorite boxers, and you were excited because you worked hard for that $200, and you paid and you got that ticket, and you went down to the boxing ring, and you got your seat, you're excited. The opponents come out, the bell is rung, ding, ding, and they come out, and 30 seconds later, somebody hits the mat, and the fight is over. Now, in your mind, you will have just felt like you got ripped off. You will have thought that is a horrible fight, because in your mind, you're thinking a good fight is when both opponents can go the distance. When both opponents end up bloodied and bleeding and bruised, when both opponents are staggering. How many of you are sitting there eating your popcorn watching that thing? That's a good fight. And I believe that's the fight that the Apostle Paul is explaining to young Timothy. Listen, he's saying, Timothy, when you signed up for this, I don't want you to have any preconceived ideas or misconceptions. Listen, this will be a fight of your life. There's going to be some times you're up, but there's going to be a lot of times you're down. There's going to be a lot of times where you feel like all hope is gone. There's going to be a lot of times where you feel like the enemy has gotten the best of you. But that's a good fight. It's a good fight. It doesn't mean you're losing. It means you're still winning as long as you keep fighting the good fight. Take your licks, but you know what? Give some licks as well. Fight the good fight. Come on, don't let the devil eat your lunch. Come on, come on. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. You got to fight the good fight. And by all means, don't compare yourself with somebody else. Isn't it funny how we get caught up in this comparison? And one of the worst places we can go to, can I be honest? One of the worst places we can go to for comparison is on somebody's social media. See, the problem with that, we compare ourselves with somebody's highlight reel. Come on, nobody's going to post anything negative on social media. You don't see husband and wife posting pictures and like, yeah, we almost got divorced. We mad at each other. You ever see any family take family photos? Can I be real? Like that picture of us, that's a family photo. Now, like 2 days before that, we almost canceled the family photo shoot. Because we're mad, because we're thinking about, man, we got to get up. Me and my son were on the same page. We got to get dressed, and we got to go down there, and it's going to take forever. But nobody wants to post a real thing on social media. So don't be comparing yourself to what somebody else is doing. Don't be comparing yourself, your life, by looking at somebody's highlight reel. Okay? You better keep your eye on the fight that you're in. Make sure you're winning the fight and fighting that good fight. Don't try to impress people. Amen? I love it when I'm not doing so good and people come up, hey, Adonis, how you doing? Well, I don't feel good right now. It just floors people's mind because they expect a preacher to always be, praise the Lord, I'm blessed. God is good. But I love to be real with people. How you doing? Well, I'm upset right now. My wife gets mad when I do that because people are like, what? But no, but I like to be real with people. Because guess what? If I know I'm upset right now, then I can deal with it. I don't have to put on a facade in front of anybody. If I'm not having a good day, I'm going to keep fighting until I do have a good day. Come on. I'm going to keep punching until I have a great day. Because we got to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Everybody say good fight. Listen, we're in a fight. Y'all know what it's like to be in a fight. Anybody ever watch wrestling? I'm a huge wrestling fan. Back when wrestling was real. I'm not talking about today's wrestling, because that is Hollywood. Come on. But when wrestling was real, okay? Y'all remember some of those old wrestlers like Andre the Giant? Anybody remember them? They had the Greek Adonis. Y'all remember him? How about Hulk Hogan? Anybody remember Hulk Hogan? Hulk Hogan. Y'all remember Hulk Hogan dominated the wrestling arena for years. A giant of a man. But every now and then, Hulk Hogan found himself in a position where his opponent had put a chokehold on him. Y'all remember that? And he would walk him down to the mat, and Hulk Hogan was sitting on the mat, looked lifeless. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that referee? He'd be like, y'all remember that referee looking? And he'd walk up to Hulk Hogan. Listen, there's still some fight left in you. Listen, just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. And he'd walk up to Hulk Hogan. He'd grab his right arm. He'd lift it up. And he'd let it go, and it would drop down. He'd bounce around the ring again, come back to Hulk Hogan, pick up that right hand, and drop it. Boom. But on the third time, everybody say third time. Y'all remember the drill? That third time, that referee picked that hand up, he'd drop it, but it would stand still, and it'd begin to shake. And that's when everything shifted in that arena. Come on. The crowd got louder. Why? Because they saw some life come back. I'm here to tell you, listen, when you think you're down and out, that's when the Holy Spirit, come on, somebody, the Holy Spirit will quicken you. Come on, give you power that you didn't even know you had to stand back up and go the distance. Come on, we got to believe. We got to believe. Next time somebody says, how you doing? If you're having a bad day, be honest. I'm not doing good, but tomorrow's going to be better because I'm going to keep fighting. I'm fighting the good fight. I'm fighting the good fight. I'm still fighting through. I'm still fighting through. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm fighting through. He said, I fought. And then he said, I finished the race. I finished the race. See, here's the thing, guys. I'm sure there's many of us here tonight or even watching online from anywhere around the world, but I'm sure we can all identify at least three projects we got at home that we started but we didn't finish. Mm-hmm. See, I've gone to meddling now. Some of you, you can't even think about the rest of the message because you're like, oh, man, yeah, I didn't finish that. But it's one thing about starting, because when we start something, we're excited about it. God speaks something to our spirit. We jump out of the gate. We're pumped. But the moment it gets challenging, come on, that's when the real work starts. That's when everything starts. Don't just be in love with the idea of doing something great. Be committed to the journey of doing something great. Because when you commit to the journey, that's going to push you through some bad times and some hard times. He said, I finished my race. Isn't that something? I don't know about you, but I want to be like the Apostle Paul. When it comes time for me to go be with Jesus, I want to be so exhausted of running that I can look back and say, yeah, I did everything, come on, that God told me to do. It's like having kids. Can you imagine that? You send your kids upstairs. My kids are so funny. It's like, hey, go up and do this, this, and this. And then they'll go up and come back down. Is it done? Yes. But let me know when you go back up and check. It's not done. Okay? Go do this, this, and this before you go out and play. They come back down, it's finished. Oh, let me go check. Then they have the audacity to get mad because they got to go back upstairs and finish what you asked them to do. Listen, if God gives you an assignment, it's not for you to just do it halfway. Come on, it's not for you to just do it halfway. It's not for you to just do it to what you think is what he wants. No, it's for him, for you to follow out everything he's called you to do. He said, Timothy, I finished my race. Here's the thing, guys. He didn't say I finished John's race. He didn't say I finished Peter's race. He said I finished my race. Guess what? What God's called you to do, he's called you to do it. The moment we start looking at somebody else, isn't it funny how we can veer out of our lane because we see somebody else doing something? Guess what? If God didn't call you to do that and you get out of your lane, that's when you get disqualified. It's like any runner in a race. There's some races you got to stay in your lane. We were talking earlier out there in the foyer. One gentleman came by and we were talking about singing. And I said, yeah, you know, people always try to get me, hey, Donis, won't you start singing? I said, no, I stay in my lane. Because if I get out of my lane, you're not going to like it. Hello? He said, I finished my race. There's a particular thing that God's called you to do. He's empowered you to do it. Don't get off track trying to be somebody else. Don't get sidetracked trying to do what somebody else is doing. Okay, maybe God gifted them to do that, and he did not gift you to do that, and that's okay. Tap into what he's gifted you to do and do it completely. Amen? Come on, don't just do it halfway, but do it completely with everything that's within you. He said, I finished my race. At the end of the course, Timothy, I can look back. I can check it off. It's done. It's done. I did what God called me to do. I did what God called me to do. And the third thing, y'all still with me? He said, I fought, I finished, and I kept. He said, I kept my faith. And I believe in the times that we're living in right now, there's a lot of people that have had their faith shaken. There's a lot of people that have had their faith stolen from them. There's a lot of people that have had their faith slipped away. Because when we start looking at circumstances and situations and we get our eyes off of God, it's so easy to lose our faith. But Paul said at the end of this, I kept my faith. I kept my faith. You know, that faith is that one thing that the devil can't steal from you. But he can get to it through your stuff. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. Isn't it funny when Jesus told Peter, because he knew Peter was going to go through some stuff, and he knew Peter was going to deny him, and he knew Peter was going to be in a situation where his faith could potentially slip away from him. In Luke 22, it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, I've always thought about that because Jesus is all-knowing. He comes to one of his disciples who is going to have to continue the fight, Pastor. He's going to have to continue beyond Jesus and continue the fight and fight a good fight. And he says, Peter, he said, Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you especially that your faith does not fail. Watch now. Then he goes on to say, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I thought about that phrase. He said, Peter, when you've returned to me, then go back and strengthen your brethren. What's he telling Peter? Peter, you're about to enter into a fight, unbeknownst to you. You're about to enter into a fight for your faith. Because Jesus knew Peter was going to deny him. Jesus knew Peter was going to isolate and be away from himself, brokenhearted because of his denial of Christ. But he said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith does not fail. I prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail because I know you're about to go into a storm. You're about to go into a fight. You're about to go into a fight that's called a guilt trip. How many ever been there? Come on, we've all been there. But Jesus loves him so much. What he's trying to tell him secretly, Peter, there's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. But I don't want the enemy to steal your faith. Isn't it funny? He prayed, I prayed for you that your faith does not fail you. He didn't pray, hey, you know, Peter, I prayed for you that your car shouldn't break down. Peter, I prayed for you that your AC doesn't stop working. I prayed for you that you don't lose your job. Why? Listen, you know, the devil uses those things against you. Isn't it funny how when something happens to our car or AC, you know, we call in somebody, oh, you know, pray for me. The devil's after my car. He can't drive your car. I'm having trouble on my job. Y'all pray for me. The devil's after my job. He can't work. He can't get dressed and go to your job and work. Pray for me. Pray for me. No. The devil can't use any of that, but if he knows if he can get to it, it'll mess with your faith. It'll mess with your faith. And before long, he'll use stuff to try to get to our faith. We got to realize that the faith that God has given us, it's not just for us, but I think I said this morning, it's not just for us, but it's for all those that are depending on you and I to step into the next thing that God has for us, the next thing that he's assigned to us. We got to keep fighting for our faith. See, our faith is what can get us from one day to the next. Our faith is what can cause us to do some impossible things. Our faith is what can move mountains. Our faith is what can cause us to get back up off the mat and put on our gloves again and go into another round of a fight. It's our faith. But don't let fear rob you of your faith. Because the moment we give in to fear is the moment we start talking ourselves out of doing what God has already empowered us to do. We got to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep pressing through. I believe we're in some serious times right now to where our faith will be tested, amen? To where our faith will be put to the test. And I'm not talking about tested where you come to church and somebody looks at you wrong. Okay? Come on, we're beyond that. I'm not talking about being at the grocery store and you see somebody and you wave at them and they keep on going like they didn't see you. Then we get offended. Well, who do they think they are? No, that's not testing your faith. That's testing your personality. Okay? But I'm talking about we're about to get into some grown-up, adult times to where our faith is literally tested. I believe we're in such a time that we are reliving some Bible times. I believe we're coming into a day where God will need the Esthers and the Shadrachs, Meshachs and the Abednegoes that are willing to stand and put their lives on the line, that are willing to stand at all cost. Because their faith is in God, not man, not the media, not the world system, but it's in God's system. It's in God's system. Pastor said it this morning. It was one of my messages that I've preached a while back. But he said, you know what, guys, this is not our home. Apostle Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven. And I believe once we can wrap that around our minds and get that in our spirit, that'll help us in the fight. Listen. We belong to God. We have every right to follow what God's called us to do. We have every right to go against the grain, every right to stand and look adversity in the eye and say, I'm not going to walk in fear in the midst of this. I believe one of the greatest examples, and I'm going to close with this. This is my first closing. Is this okay with everybody? Is this helping anybody tonight? Y'all give me a hand clap to encourage me, to keep me going. I believe with all my heart that God is getting ready to do some great things through his people. But guess what? He needs his people to stand up in a greater way. He needs us to have a louder voice, to have a bigger influence. And I said this morning, it has nothing to do with you. It was never about you. But it's about what God wants to do in you. And I believe we're entering into a season, mark my word, we're entering into a season where God, through his people, will begin to flip the script, Pastor. I believe that. Because it's so easy to tune in to CNN and Fox News and what social media is saying and to have your hope gone and to have anxiety fill your mind. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? But listen, this is where God needs his people to tune in. I'd rather be listening to God right now. Come on. God, what do you want me to do in this season? God, how do you want to use me in this moment? when all chaos is going around. You know, I remember back in March or April when all these tensions broke out and things began to happen with COVID and racial tensions. I went to my prayer closet. I said, God, what do you want me to do? I didn't get on social media and post stuff because I believe God had a bigger purpose for my influence. I said, God, what do you want me to do right now? And he said, I want you to reach out to your community. My neighborhood, Pastor. We had a neighborhood Facebook group. I got on there, and I posted one thing, being led by the Holy Spirit. This is what I posted. I said, I'm out here on my front porch for the next 2 hours. I said, if anybody wants to come over and talk about what's going on in our world right now, come on over. I hit post. 5 minutes later, people start showing up of all different colors. We gathered around my front porch for about 3 hours, and we had conversations. People were weeping and crying, and we were turning to God. But listen, that's me following what God called me to do. I'm telling you, when you go to the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do in this season of chaos? What do you want me to do in my workplace, in my neighborhood? What do you want me to do at my school? What do you want me to do at my college? How many believe God will speak to you? Come on. But he'll speak to you, but you still have to walk it out. Come on. You still have to walk it out and do what God has called you to do. You got to walk it out. There's a season that we're about to enter where he's going to raise up his people. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be one of them to flip the script. To flip the script of what's going on right now. And I'm going to close with this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all remember the story. I don't have time to go to it, but I will paraphrase just a little bit. But these were three Hebrew boys. They were raised in God's country, in God's land, brought up in a biblical way. And they understood the things of God, and they lived for God. These were young men. And one day the king from a foreign land came and raided God's country and took captive these young men and God's people and brought them to a strange land. This Babylonian king wanted to bring God's people over and teach them their system, their ways. Let's raise them and teach them our language. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood for righteousness. They stood for God's way. And one day this king, and I encourage you to go back and read this, one day this king decided to raise this golden image, this statue of himself. And he had a plan. Listen to me. He had a plan that was going to put so much fear into people, Pastor. He called the herald over and said, tell the people, once we erect this golden image and they hear the music playing, tell the people that at that point they should bow down and worship this image. And if they don't, they will be killed immediately. As I would read that, you ever read that, and when it says they call the herald over, you ever think about who's herald? Anybody ever think about that? Who is herald? And if you don't know who Harold is, go to the dictionary. Harold was like a news reporter, like CNN or Fox News. The king had this plan, but he had the news media deliver it to the people. Amen or ouch. Listen, it's going to be good. He had the news media deliver it to the people. And this news broadcast from the Herald put so much fear into people. The time the music struck up, everybody bowed down and worshiped this image because the fear of being put to death, the fear of being cast into this fiery furnace, overpowered even God's people that were in that land. Then the king's men said, hey, king, Didn't you command that everybody should bow down when you hear this music playing? The king said, yeah. He said, but hey, king, there's three men, three Hebrew men that you brought over, and you've put in a position here. These young men had titles in the land. They said, you've put them in position of authority, yet they've not bowed down to the image. And I thought about that for a minute. Here's the thing, guys. We are in the world, but we're not of it. And there will come a day where you're going to have to love God more than your title, more than your position. Come on. More than your bank account, more than your friends. You're going to have to love God, because we will be in a position to where we're going to have to take a stand. And he said, these three young men, they've refused to bow down. And King Nebuchadnezzar, because his love for these young men, he saw that the favor of God was on them. But his love for them, he went up to them a second time and said, hey, I know you guys didn't bow down, but I'm going to give you one more chance. Isn't that funny how the enemy wants to get you, come on, wants to get you to bow down. He came up and said, guys, I'm going to give you another chance. Just please, when you hear the music, just bow down. Just bow down. And if you don't, you're going to have to go to this fiery furnace. And then what God will save you. And I love the response, and this is where we got to understand. I love the response of the Hebrew boys. They said, hey, king, listen to this. We're not going to bow down to worship this image. And God will save us. But even if he doesn't save us, they said, we're still not going to bow down to worship the image that you've set up. And the Bible says, King Nebuchadnezzar's countenance turned towards and changed towards these Hebrew boys. See, the world will be okay with you until you stand and say no to it. You'll find out who your friends are. Listen, when your morals cause you to stand for God, this was somebody who was with them, and all of a sudden, their stand for God caused his face to change towards them. Some of you have been wondering why people get mad at you and ticked off at you. It's not because your personality. It's because maybe they see your stand for God. And I believe the world needs to see that a whole lot more. Come on. And what happened, long story short, if we're talking about flipping this script, because God's going to raise up a lot of us in these coming days. Listen, I believe with all my heart, we're reliving some biblical times, Pastor. This happened years ago, but it resembles so much of what's going on today. Fear is running rampant through our land because of something that's being communicated, and people are fearing for their life, they're fearing for their jobs, and at some point we must stand knowing that, hey, we belong to God, and we're still going to serve God no matter what. It was so refreshing to hear a pastor stand on stage and say, well, guess what, we're going to keep having church. We're going to keep having church. We're not going to shut down. We're going to keep having church. What is that? That's a pastor that is saying, I'm going to stand and I'm going to trust God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, you know what, king? Go ahead and play the music. We're not going to bow down. The king was furiated. Threw him into a fire. Had it turned up seven times hotter. Threw him into a fire. Moments later, he walked over to the fire, and I'm paraphrasing. Y'all just stay with me. It's Sunday night. Is this okay? But go home and read this story. Walked over. He looked at the mouth of the fire, and he goes, wait a minute. Hey, didn't we throw three men in there? He said, yeah, king. He said, but I see four. They're all walking around. One of them looks like the Son of God. And this is what I mean by flipping the script. He looked into the mouth of that fire and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out of there. And the moment they came out, he saw everything, but their hair was not burned, their skin was not burned. The only thing that burned was the ropes that they were bound in. And without them saying anything, Pastor, the king out of his own admission, said, today I make a new decree. He said, I'm about to flip the script. He said, if anybody speaks anything evil against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be killed, their family will be killed. Listen, this is a king. This is not a God-fearing king. This is not a God-fearing land. But because three Hebrew boys refused to bow down, God was able to step in, touch the heart of a king, and flip the script of what was going on in that land. And I'm here to tell you today, listen, you want to see change in our nation? Stand for God. Come on, you want to see change in our schools? Stand for God. You want to see change in the workplace? You got to stand for God. Don't cower down to the fear. Can you imagine how many other people, God's people, that came over with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they heard the music? This is what tears at my heart sometimes, Pastor. They were Christians. They were God-fearing. But when they heard the music, they started thinking, I don't want to lose my life. I don't want to be cast out. But there they were, bound in fear, still loving God, but bowing down to fear. And I think how many Christians are walking around today, still loving God, but bowing down to fear. And God used three Hebrew boys to empower other Christians and free them from the fear. I'm here to tell you, God will use you to free people around you, Christian people that love God, that are bound in fear. Keep fighting the good fight. Finish your race and keep your faith. I believe God's going to use you. Amen. Does this help anybody tonight? Come on, somebody bless his name. Come on, he's an awesome God. Stand with me, stand with me. I'm getting ready to close. It's my second closing, I believe. Or is it my third? It's my third. Pastor corrected me. He said, it's your third, brother. He said, you got one more. I'm going to come up and take the mic. But I believe with all my heart, listen. I believe we are in a season to where God needs his people to be true to what they believe in. We're either going to believe the Bible or we're not. Come on. We're either going to believe God or we're not. We're going to believe there's a place called heaven or we're not. Don't be in the middle. These are times where we must fight for our faith like never before. These are times where we must call wrong, wrong, and evil, evil. These are the times that we're in. These are the times that we must be aware of what is going on around us. The Bible talks of redeeming the time, for the days are evil. I believe God is waking up his church, stirring his church, preparing his church for such a time as this. See, for years we've been conditioned that when you hear a preacher talking about this, oh, they're preaching doom and gloom. No, this is not, this is in the Bible. This is no longer doom and gloom. It's a reality. It's real. There's a day where God will be able to see who's with him and who's been playing like they were with him. Who's really living for him and who's been trying to just fit in with the clique and the crowd and the club. But when he finds that person, that woman, that man, that young person that has that bold faith to believe him no matter what, to count their life as nothing, and say, I don't care what the world says, I'm not going to bow down to a world system. I'm not going to bow down to something that's anti-God. I'm not going to worship something other than God. And I think when God sees that, that's when he steps in. And he uses that person's bold faith to bring about a change. Listen, this world is not over. God's called us to be an influence for his kingdom, for righteousness. It doesn't mean God's called you to argue, but he's called you to just take a stand. Isn't that something? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't have picket signs out. They weren't causing a riot. They were just standing. We're not going to bow down. Do what you have to do, but we're not going to bow down. Even if God doesn't show up, guess what? We're still not going to bow down. Even if you throw us in the fire, it means God has delivered us out of your hands, O King. We're going to go be with him, but we're not going to bow down. We're not going to give you the satisfaction of bowing down. You're not going to put fear on us today. And the moment they did that, God broke the fear in that land. Come on. Can we pray for that tonight, for God to break the fear? Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak that over your people here. We speak that over your people that are watching online around the world, Father, that you break off the fear that has held us captive, that you break off the fear that has emotionally drained us, that you break off the fear that has kept us up at night, that you break off the fear right now in the name of Jesus. We let go of the fear. We let go of its control. And we accept your peace, oh God. Peace that you are with us, that you'll never leave us, never forsake us. Peace that you're walking through us. Peace that you're waiting on us in the fire. Peace in the midst of a storm. Peace in the midst of uncertainty. That you give us peace even when we don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. We receive your peace, your love, your joy. And through that, Lord God, we receive the power of your Spirit to embolden us. To be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to take a stand for righteousness, to take a stand for good, to take a stand for what is right. And may that stand be an example to many and set them free. We declare that tonight, oh God. We thank you for it, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say yes and amen to the call you have on our life, oh God. To live for you boldly like never before. To be a witness in this land. To be a mouthpiece in this land. To be a light in darkness. To bring clarity where there is confusion. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. we receive tonight. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, surround us. Lead us and guide us. Speak to us. Teach us to be more like Jesus. We thank you for it, oh God. So that one day we can all declare what the Apostle Paul declared. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. And I kept the faith. We thank you for it, oh God. We give you all the praise, all the glory. All the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on. Come on, our house game. Come on. Come on, Carpenter Shop. Come on, somebody bless him. Come on, he's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I really feel that. I'm not just saying that, but I think these are the days that are giving birth to some lions of the King of Judah. I believe these are the days that are propelling us to the forefront. And God is just watching. Oh, they're standing for me. Boom. They're standing for me. Come on. Come on. We are God's conduit into this land. Keep standing for him. And I guarantee you, he's got your back. He's got your back. Keep standing for God throughout this season. Keep standing. Come on. Come on. Keep believing. Don't grow weary while doing good. Come on, come on. Why? For in due season, it may not happen when you want it to, but I believe with all my heart, we're standing for a generation to come. See, I've decided that I need to continue to stand for my children that are still so young. We're standing. We may not even see it with our eyes, but we're standing for a generation to come. Keep fighting. Don't you grow weary. Keep believing God no matter what. Amen. God's in control. Don't let the media tell you that somebody else is in control. God is in control. I need my own TV station where I can just constantly say, hey, God's in control. God's in control. God's in control. You know, he's not freaking out. He's waiting on his people to do what my daughter said. Get it together. Come on, let's get it together for God. Amen. Come on, give him one more praise. God bless you guys. It's been an honor, privilege of being here. My first time in Ahoskie. Did I say okay? Ahoskie, North Carolina. Hope it's not my last. Been a wonderful trip here with you guys. I'll fly back home to Nashville tomorrow sometime. But it's been a blessing. Thank you, Pastor. You give your pastor a hand clap. I'm telling you, I said this earlier, but you know what? It's amazing when God connects you with somebody. You don't have to force it to happen. God nudges one of you, and it just happens. And I feel like I'm at home amongst family and friends. Amen. God bless you guys.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Adonis. Praise God. There's an offering bucket here. The worship team's going to sing that song in just a moment. There's an offering bucket here if you would participate in the offering tonight. Could I just deposit this? There's something about 40 years ago when I transitioned from one church, traditional mainline church, to another. There was a dynamic in our services that was absent when I went to the other church. And it was just a few moments, and oftentimes it was on Sunday night, and we would just come to the altar for really no specific reason, just to stand in his presence. And could I just get you to slip out from where you are and just come and stand and let them just wash this next song over you? Can we kind of take a shower in the Spirit before we go home tonight? Just come and stand in his presence. The offering bucket's here if you'd like to give. Just sing that song that you were working at right then. And let's just stand in his presence for a moment. No formal dismissal. When you need to just slip out, just slip out. But just stand in his presence for just a moment. And let these words just minister to you. Let this wash over you before you leave tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, just gather. Stand in his presence for a moment.
never.